You're listening to episode number 484 of the 360 Vegas podcast. Check out the blog at 360vegaspodcast.com or send us an email at 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com. Get early and sometimes exclusive access to all things 360 Vegas, including 35 episodes of Vintage Vegas, 47 Anti-Ups, 87 Vegas Cocktails, and lots more with a $7 per month subscription to Patreon. That's patreon.com/360vegas. Also, you can join the conversation on Discord with dedicated chats covering all things 360 Vegas. It's free to join, and an invite to our server can be found at 360vegaspodcast.com.
Day after tomorrow, gentlemen, we'll be in Las Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas.
Las Vegas functions on a 24-hour-a-day schedule.
The pools, the casino.
Big volcano out in front.
That's the Eiffel Tower.
Bellagio. Riviera.
The Mirage.
Flamingo. Sahara.
The MGM Grand.
This isn't the real Caesar's Palace, is it?
I want to gamble.
They always put the machines that pay off the most right in the front.
Good luck.
The Strip is just the most amazing stretch of road, I think, probably anywhere in the world.
Kicking ass in Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Welcome to Las Vegas.
Right, here's a question for you. Does Vdara now having a walkway connecting it to Cosmopolitan change your opinion of it?
No.
No?
From an accessibility standpoint, yes. Because before you had to walk outside and along the street and everything else to get there from Cosmo.
But now you've got to travel as far as you have to travel if you're staying at MGM Grand.
Well, I mean, it's
why are you staying at Vdara in the first place? It doesn't have a casino.
I'm with you. I'm the same. If it doesn't have a casino, I'm not going to bother.
But I mean, I've heard great things about the rooms. I've heard they're really nice. And I think if you're somebody that would like to step away from the madness of a casino for a little bit, it's a great option. Because it's much more quiet. It's much more chill. You know, if you're looking for something a little more relaxing, and the fact that it's relaxing and now connected to Cosmo.
I understand all the words that you're saying, but put together, they don't make sense to me.
So is a Ramada Inn if you want to get away from a casino.
That's what I mean. I don't know. There's something about Vegas. Like, if there isn't a casino attached, now you've made it. Now it's a chore for me to get to the casino. Like, why would I stay at Vdara when I can just stay at Cosmopolitan?
Okay, well, absolutely. Apparently I can't have an opinion.
You can have an opinion. We're teasing.
Well, you can have an opinion. Just make sure it matches up with men's opinion so you can be right.
Jesus Christ.
That's where you went wrong. Where you went wrong.
I hope the silence is deafening.
Oh, don't worry. The look I'm getting on camera right now is cute. It's cute.
Moving on, I got a second question for you. What does Tropicana closing mean for Oyo?
I mean, it certainly makes it a little bit harder to visit, because if you were at Tropicana, I could see a scenario whereby you just kind of pop over check it out and
that's
see what's
what
going
I said.
On. Or what's that?
I said, that's what I said. Mark asked me this question the other day. And I'm like, I think it's going to hurt it.
I agree. Especially if you were staying at Tropicana, because one of the nice things about the Trop is you have a walkway over to MGM Grand, and you could pop next door to Oyo to check it out. So I think Oyo needed the Trop way more than the Trop needed Oyo.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I don't think anybody needs Oyo.
I like that it's a low cost option available just off the Strip. I mean, it's another one. You can get dollar blackjack there and $5 crabs.
The weird thing is even knowing I could get dollar blackjack and $5 crabs, that is not enough to draw me down there.
Yeah, it's a tough sell. It's a tiny place, too. All right, that's all I got. Two questions I wanted your thoughts on.
Aaron, is there anything else you wanted to share with us?
No, especially not with you right now, Tony.
Wow. Well. winner, winner, chicken dinner all the way around, I guess. Now I'm really just digging a hole. I kid. Let's start the show. He's Mark, she's Karen, I'm Tony, and as always, we start with Random Vegas.
In 1968, Las Vegas could Las Vegas could lay claim to the three tallest electric signs in the world. The Dunes at 180 foot, the Frontier at 184, and the Stardust at 188 feet tall. I miss our mega pylons. Or super pylons, I think is what they were called.
I don't know, I miss the neon. All these digital signs are just getting bleh.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that a little bit coming up.
Yeah, I know. I did. I
you browsed?
Speed read. Yeah, I browsed. I didn't accidentally bring up something that, you know, we were going to cover later and get yelled at like I did last week.
Like you did last week. You weren't on last week.
Yes, I was.
Who's...
It was 2 weeks I wasn't on.
Oh, that's right. Last week was Love Ends. That's right.
Karen, let me tell you why you're always right for so many reasons. In this day and age...
You better be careful. All I'm saying, Tony, is you better be careful.
This is good. You're going to like this. You're going to like this. We can see LED LED signs on billboards present day. Even here in Michigan, you can drive down the highway and you can see LED signs that are advertising,
right?
You know, Kroger.
Well, then you take one billboard that used to have just a standard picture on it. Once you make it LED, then you can sell multiple ads that you just rotate through.
Right.
And that's and so the reason why I think you're so right is because with the neon, it is a that's all it is. It is just it's beautiful neon lights that is illuminating the Dune sign or the star Stardust sign. And that's what makes it unique. Mm-hmm. That's what makes those neon signs so unique versus what I call nothing more than an LED highway billboard that is now the Wynn or Cosmo or fill in the blank.
I was sitting in the intersection. I must have been heading towards Cromwell for something. We just went to Bally's Horseshoe this week.
Right.
Or something.
Dita.
Right. Which we're going to talk about later.
I thought you browsed. Sitting
at the intersection, and the horseshoe's new sign that's on the corner literally was running ads for, like, Target.
Yeah.
I mean, they were running just regular ads. It wasn't even Vegas related. It was just, so they're just taking money from anybody to put this stuff up, which just it makes it, it's, to me, then it's noise. It's just ugly, unnecessary noise that I don't want to see in my vacation.
I think it takes away from what has always made the Strip so unique, and those neon signs that are 180, 184, or 188 feet tall, that is unique. That was always unique to the Strip.
Yeah.
So, all right, Mark, what's going on with the pick of the week?
How can you not be proud of that collection of properties? Specifically, it feels like MGM treats At Luxor and Excalibur like unwanted commodities. Which is funny because when they bought Mandalay Resorts, one of the most profitable gaming companies in history, with a portfolio that primarily catered to the middle class. Since then, they've sold off Circus Circus and threatened redevelopment to both Luxor and Excalibur. Instead, they should feel psyched that they have a string of properties that make up virtually every demographic that you want to attract to Vegas. Not to mention, you're in prime real estate to attract all those who attend events at Allegiant and the current wave of sports in Vegas. Here's some million-dollar advice for free, MGM. Leave Luxor and Excalibur alone. Sure, update them and take care of them inside, but leave the architecture alone. You found this company attractive for a reason. Stop trying to fix it.
Well said.
That's on soapbox there a little bit. I mean, I agree with the soapbox, but...
Well said.
Yeah. Well, luckily we can point to MGM or Park MGM's underperformance after their renovation for saving Excalibur, and I don't know what they could do at Luxor. I mean, you can do all the internal modifications you can, but you're either going to destroy that or you're not going to hybrid out a pyramid.
Well, I don't know how you would get rid of the castle turrets on the.
Oh, Bogan showed something a long time ago because I made that same inquiry, and he showed how they could just blend it out and round off the tops, and it was sad. He had some Photoshop skills.
Because most of the turrets don't have anything in them, right? They're just, like, out front, they're there for decoration.
I'm sure they're just for decoration.
So you could almost, like, chop off the tops of them.
Right.
And this photo, for the record, is enhanced, right? Because if you look at the turrets on Excalibur, they're way too pretty, shiny, reflective. So I'm pretty sure this is an enhanced photo, which is fine because it still looks beautiful. But, yeah. Oh, and it's interesting because we were talking about a picture, was it last week? About all the empty space in front of Excalibur. And this is a good visual of what they did with that corner. Because remember, all up front it was parking?
It is still parking.
Well, no. Where the monorail station is.
Oh, Excalibur?
Yeah.
No, it's still parking.
No. Where the monorail station is and all that, the walkways
oh, right,
and stuff, that
yeah.
was all parking too.
Right. Well, it is still parking. If you look up close, if you zoom in, it's still there.
I know. I can see that there's still parking, but right in the middle, that was a comment I made last week. It's like, I can't believe all that parking went all the way. It seems so far back. This shows that, okay, we'll take that corner section and drop in the pedestrian walkways and drop in the monorail station. Yes, there is still parking on the side, Mark. I can see it.
Are you done?
No, I don't know. Are you done telling me I'm wrong?
I was merely pointing out that parking was still there. You're the one that wanted to argue it.
Many yes. times, because you weren't listening to what I was saying. Anyway, move on.
I don't know if I would ever necessarily want to park there per se.
Up front.
Right? It's just that's intriguing that there's so much parking available there. And I guess we also take for granted the ability of that they still I take the word ability back. We take for granted that they even have this side parking.
Well,
I don't.
And right. if you notice, there yeah. are no cars on that parking area, on either one of them.
I know, right?
All right. Well, as always, we'll link to the photo on our blog. We'll feature on all of our social media outlets such as Flickr, Pinterest, Facebook, and Twitter. Let's get into the news. The news is brought to you by Vegas Near Me. If it's fun to do or see, it's on Vegas Near Me. It's available free on Android and iPhone. Use the search term 360VV14 to get a listing of the properties we will be featuring at 360 Vegas Vacation.
The book, Like an Onion, The Vegas Skim, is the most succinct telling of the mob's time in Vegas that we've ever read. It cuts through all the myths and gives you the details of organized crime's time in the city. It specifically focuses on how the mob stole money before it was reported as earnings to the IRS and how it worked until it didn't anymore. Learn how the mob controlled the entire operation with a single point man whose job it was to make sure that the skim ran as smoothly as possible. This masterpiece is a quick read and very much worth every moment you put into it. Like an Onion, The Vegas Skim is available now on Amazon.com.
First up, let's talk about the Plaza all-inclusive offer.
Plaza has an all-inclusive deal for stays June 1st through July 1st. The package includes breakfast and dinner at participating restaurants, bottomless drinks at Omaha Bar and the Race and Sportsbook Bar, free bingo with a Plaza rewards card, discounted appetizers and cocktails at Oscars during happy hour. Well, you get that anyway. but that's from 5 to 7 daily. And all this, and they're waiving the resort fee. The deal is running now through June 30th. We don't report on a lot of deals, but I thought that one was intriguing.
But weren't people having trouble, like, booking it? I heard.
I'm sure it burned through pretty quick. I mean, their availability. That's a hell of a deal.
Well, and it wasn't that it wasn't available. It's that their reservation system wouldn't let them do it, was what I heard.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I mean, I saw on Twitter, so that's
right. Of course.
And it's also entirely possible that maybe they released or pulled the trigger, so to speak, before the website
was updated.
Ready to start.
Right.
Yeah, taking those. But hey, listen, anytime you can get breakfast and dinner and your resort fees waived, unless there are. I don't know if there's a company out there that in other places around the country that do this, but. In the Lansing area, in the Michigan area, we used to have a company called Art Van. And Art Van was a furniture store.
Yeah.
And Art Van would tell you that they were having sales of 75% off if you came in this particular weekend. Well, what they were doing is they were artificially raising the prices of the furniture.
Oh, geez.
So that when they gave you a 75% off discount, you were still paying about what, you know, you would pay for.
Or maybe it was effectively a 25% discount off the original price versus...
Yes, exactly. Something like that. I have nothing to base this on. It would have been helpful perhaps to have known what the month of June rates were going for before this offer. But I would be interested. You could get some real value. Now, again, you're locking yourself in, and this is where the only way you maximize the value is you've got to lock yourself into breakfast and dinner for however many, you know, nights you're going to be there. But I'm personally, I know you guys aren't, but I am a big fan of Hash House of Go-Go, so I would have no issues getting certainly my breakfast value. I don't know how dinner works, because I assume Hash House maybe works as well. Does Oscars count? It doesn't sound like it.
Oscars was not one of the restaurants listed. It was the pizza place. It was their Mexican taco joint, and I thought there was one more. Now I want to click on the link. If I click on the link, is it in there?
No, otherwise I would have had it in the story. Mm.
Yeah.
Somewhere I saw it where it listed the restaurants, but Oscars was definitely not included.
Sure. I think that if folks were interested in doing this, they would certainly want to put pen to paper to figure out about what a room just in and of itself would cost, then figure out what this all-inclusive rate is going to cost you, and then go in and look at these different menu options to figure out, will you, you know, would it just be cheaper to just get a room and eat a couple of meals at these restaurants versus paying whatever the rate's going to be on the website? But
It's interesting, because to your point, you know, with Hash House of Go-Go, I don't think I would mind going there as much, because I'm paying a set price for it, which should be a discount. So not really worried about, you know, usually you go there and they charge you a bunch and they give you they give you enough food for three people, which is just annoying to me. But if I'm like, well, fuck it, I don't have to pay the price for three people. So that's okay. The other thing that I do like about this though, is there's no resort fees. So what you're booking is what you're paying. And that is something that is sadly lacking pretty much anywhere these days.
Yeah.
Listen, I like what Jonathan Jossel is trying here, and I'm a big fan of just trying something new that's different than what anybody else is doing. So good for him. That's super. And listen, if you are a big fan of the Plaza to begin with, and you really enjoy the eateries there, this is a no-brainer for you.
Yeah.
No-brainer.
Definitely.
Next up, what is Brightline Breaks Ground?
Brightline West announced plans to break ground next week on the Las Vegas to California high-speed rail project. The project still only has 3.5 of the projected $12 billion in funding needed to complete, but it isn't stopping them from moving forward on construction. The track will cover 260 miles, and the trips are expected to take about 3 hours, with trains traveling up to 200 miles per hour. Brightline plans to have the system operating ahead of the 2028 Olympics in L.A.
Wait a minute. They expect the trips to take 3 hours.
Right.
Going 200 miles an hour.
No, up to 200 miles an hour. Okay. They don't go 200 miles an hour.
Well, that's fine, but it's only a 3.5 hour drive on a non-crazy flow of traffic.
Thank you, Karen. I thought I was going to ask Josh about this, but I thought it was only like a 4 hour drive.
Yeah,
from LA to Vegas.
Depending on where you're going, you know, standard traffic, it's like 3.5-4 hours. So you're only
But the party starts early then.
That's true. That's
as soon as you step on the train.
No, because they're going to drop you off in the middle of nowhere, and you still got to figure out how to get into
I know, right?
Vegas.
So the hour that you saved
right.
on the train, you're going to lose to having to get to where you actually want to be.
Yeah, well, you're going to lose it getting to the wherever the train station is in L.A., because it's not like it's in L.A. proper. And then it's going to drop you off in the middle of the desert out here in Vegas. And so then you got to get in the middle. Yeah, it's just...
That's
and the fact that they don't have funding and they're starting a construction project. This to me is like that. What was that supposed to be the high roller challenger across the Mandalay Bay.
I don't remember what it's called.
But you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. Where they started building it and they put the big support columns in there and it sat there for a decade and a half.
Right.
Like, that's what's going to happen here.
For the record.
What?
It's still there for the record.
Okay, well, it's sitting there for a decade and a half.
Yeah, jeez. All right, that's going to do it for news. Let's roll into prop bets. For those of you unfamiliar, Prop Bets is an extension of the news, but with just bits and pieces of noteworthy items. First up, Caesar's Palace and Horseshoe currently have their high limit slot rooms under renovation. No word when they will be completed.
Yeah, turnaround on those things are like a week, though, so it won't be long.
A Mega Mart at Area 15 is cutting 54 jobs in an effort to reduce its labor cost by 10%. What people actually do in a Mega Mart is still a subject for debate.
Yeah, I don't. They don't.
Wait. So if they're cutting their labor cost by 10%, that means they're going to have roughly 540 people working there.
Wow.
I'm assuming all things equal, right? Now they may be firing people with the higher rates of pay, and that's how they're getting to 10%.
Yeah.
But it's still. Yep. That's a lot of people for doing what?
Yeah.
Although I should say I've never been in Omega Mart. I don't know. I think you went once, didn't you, Mark?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just sort of—they're not really doing anything there, are they?
I don't know. That's why the joke was there.
Oh, what people do is self-destructive.
Right.
They take my ticket.
Pretty much. That is pretty much the only thing they do. Well, that, and if you have questions about what the hell is this, they answer in very broad terms. You know, they add to the mystery of what the fuck is this thing, which can be annoying. Moving on. We previously reported that Aria's marquee is undergoing a digital refurbishment. This week, its neighbor across the street that we affectionately refer to as Mecca Walgreens is doing the same to its massive LED, currently the 25th largest LED screen in the world. So this is the benefits of having advertising people in the marketing business, is you're going to get that technology kept up to date.
Well, the amount of money that they make off of the advertising, they're, of course, they want to have the latest and greatest. And
oh, I'm rooting for us to get 3D so bad. I mean, to you guys' point earlier, you know, you're talking about how boring these digital signs have gotten. I'm like, come on, let's get a 3D one.
3D, like from Back to the Future 2, where they have Jaws 25.
No, you haven't seen that 3D marquee that they've got over in the...
Yeah, you posted or somebody posted. I mean, that's intriguing, but I'd still rather have a neon sign.
Well, in a world where that's not an option, I'm trying to go with technology.
Well, that's... So my wife actually texted this to me and said, are you in Vegas right now and didn't tell me? At Sin City Alerts reports, security on the strip was alerted to a disturbance. An intoxicated male walking around the casino with a blow-up doll. Subject had the doll bent over a slot machine and making thrusting motions against the blow-up doll.
Well, what else are you supposed to do with it? Let's be honest.
Thank you.
Blow-up doll for a reason.
Right.
Now, normally you would, you know, wait to do the thrusting motions up in your room.
Yeah.
But, you know.
That's, I mean, I assume
that's what the general public would prefer you do.
Oh, yes.
Well, guess what? I'm giving you a free show.
I'll tell you what, man. Sin City Alerts. Again, if you're not following this on Twitter, I'm sure they're on other platforms. I don't know. Every so often, you'd just be scrolling through, and the craziest thing comes up, and you're like, "Of course that happened in Vegas. Of course it did." Vital Vegas reports that Parm Famous Italian is joining the options available in Aria's food hall later this spring. It appears to be replacing Shalom, y'all.
What did that serve?
Kosher Southern classics, I'm guessing.
Cool. Southern, really?
Well, that's the y'all.
Oh, y'all. Gotcha.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Plaza announced they will be letting off fireworks every Friday night from 9:15 p.m. or at 9:15 p.m. Not from. They're not starting and doing them all night. But starting at 9:15 p.m. on May 24th through August 30th.
That seems expensive.
I would agree.
Although maybe they're fighting to get more attention because, you know, they're down at the end of the Fremont Street Experience and they're blocked by that.
It'd be funny if they did it during concerts.
Right. Start setting them off.
Look at us. Look at us. Look at us.
We're here too. We're here.
I hope I pronounced Neil's last name correctly. This week, Neil Hearn, a man who grabbed thousands of dollars worth of casino chips from table games at 15 different casinos, has become the 37th person added to the Black Book. You know what, sir? Good for you. Well done. 15 casinos you were able to do this?
Do you remember those videos? That guy would literally just walk up to a table and just lunge over, grab as many as he could fit in his hands, and then just run.
Yeah, and he was able to get away with it.
15 times.
14 times.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Well, and then they had all the video to track down every time he did it, so his prosecution's gonna have a pretty smooth sailing.
That's just great. But I'm with you, Tony. 15 times.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Oh, this has been fun this week. Nevada Assemblymember Danielle Gallant apologized this week for not understanding the tax financing package that gave $600 million in public money to the A's before approving it. Her sentiment has largely been mocked as not doing her job. That's the nice way of saying it.
Yeah, they've been pretty vicious to her.
So what's going on, right? For those of us that don't know anything,
Karen, why don't you explain to him?
So I haven't watched the full video that she posted originally, but I know that it's come down. She's pulled it down since then.
Okay.
But it was a video of her very, like, she's explaining.
Very nonchalantly.
No. She was almost, what's the word I'm looking for? Condescending.
Okay.
And, you know, in explaining, you know, we didn't give public money away and it's not going to affect the taxpayers and like,
I always love when they say that it's not going to affect the taxpayers. Like, yeah, because right. We don't pay taxes.
And it was just, it was very condescending about, this is great for Nevada. This is great for, you know, and it was just largely panned because what she was saying they did was not how the deal was structured at all.
Okay.
And so then she posted, and you can search for it on Twitter and read it, but then she posted on Twitter that, you know what, I made a mistake. I did not understand how this financing worked when I voted for it. I'm human. People make mistakes. For those that have politely educated and corrected me, thank you. And for those of you that have not been as nice, you make mistakes too, kind of a whole general tone of the whole thing, right? Which is now getting panned for that. And then on top of it, it turns out that she received a donation from John Fisher towards her reelection campaign. And John Fisher's the owner of the A's. So it's just been this, and she's put herself out there. Again, she put the video, then she put the you know, the commentary and pulled down the video. And I mean, people are just going after her. And the other funny thing is people are talking about, I'm going to support or I'm going to donate to, you know, whoever's running against you. She's running unopposed. So, you know, she didn't need the reelection campaign money apparently because, you know, she doesn't have to campaign because nobody else is challenging her.
Right.
But it's just been a fun thing on Twitter.
And lastly, a man accused of passing counterfeit gaming chips at several Las Vegas casinos, or a man is accused, sorry. the Gaming Control Board said that the accused has a history of similar incidents in 2014 and 2018. The man is facing 14 felony counts.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine Nevada does not take kindly to counterfeiting of casino chips. That's, I bet you they look at that the same way the feds look at you counterfeiting
cash. Oh,
American dollar. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Dollars, yeah.
So would he take these directly to the cage and try to pass them?
I don't know. They didn't say.
Or,
they said they were $100 chips, but they didn't say whether.
It's interesting to me how he thought he was going to do this. So if it was $100 mm-hmm. chips, do you take them to the cage and cash them? Or do you try to insert them into a table mm-hmm. game? Like, let's say you walk up to a craps table and, you know, you have a $100 chip because they colored you up someplace else. You know, do you walk in and ask for change and then now you've got your $100? Like, just curious.
If he's smart, he would walk in, again, let's just say it's $100, these are $100 chips. He should walk in, buy in for, let's just say, $2,000, right? Get 20 black chips, stick his chip in the middle of that and then play a little while, right? Making sure that he's putting the fake ones out on the
right.
out on the felt. And then, you know, if he wins, cool, he's winning, you know, and you just keep playing until you lose the fake chip.
Yeah. Right, so his loss might be, you know, $100, $200, maybe $500, but if he can swap out, you know,
yes.
10 legit fake chips or 10 fake chips for...
They say that's how thieves get caught all the time, is just greed. It isn't that they aren't clever, it's that they're greedy.
Right, right. Which is why I wonder if the idiot did just try to walk his fake chip into a cashier cage
right.
and present it. So I'll tell you, though, joking aside, with RFD chips becoming as inexpensive as they are,
yeah.
that might be what really hosed the guy, because they're probably, I mean, he again, the greed was the $100 chip. Maybe you should just start counterfeiting $5 and $25 chips, buddy.
Right.
And, you know, do it.
Peace. Not that we're nobody, condoning that.
I would say nobody cares about the lower denominations. Once you start, you know, you get the black chips and then the, what is it, yellow next usually?
Yes,
and then purple?
Yes. It's like $5,000 chips and $10,000. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People pay attention to those denominations.
Right.
That'll do it for news and prop bets. Let's move on to coming attractions. Attractions brought to you by Vegas.com is a portion of the show where we share with you acts and artists outside of the usual residencies that we'll be performing in Vegas in the future. First up, Boyz II Men are performing at the Coliseum Friday and Saturday,
Cosmopolitan.
Sorry, let me try that one more time. Boyz II Men are performing at the Cosmopolitan Friday and Saturday, August 23rd and 24th, and August 30th and 31st. Show starts at 8 p.m. and tickets start at $69.
Kevin Hart is performing at Resorts World Friday and Sunday, July 12th and 14th. Show start at 8 p.m. and tickets start at $69. Can I just tell you, I was at Resorts World this week, had an opportunity to grab a drink with, you know, friend of the show, friend of ours, Shane, at Shaggy Boiler, I think on Twitter. The theater shop that's right across the entrance from the theater had all Resorts World merchandise in it. It did not have a single artist, so I don't know if they're in a lull on not having a residency and they're trying to get people there, but I just thought it was very interesting that the theater shop wasn't promoting anybody.
Anybody at the theater.
Yeah.
Huh. Huh. That does seem like a missed opportunity, especially knowing that for a while, Elton John and Celine Dion, when they were residencies at Caesar's Palace, right next door, they had their own branded.
But that's why they're in residency.
Well, and that's what I mean. Do they not have anybody in residency?
Well, apparently not right now. Otherwise, there would be something.
When we went to go see, because we saw Katy Perry when she was there, let me tell you, they had all kinds of Katy Perry shit in that store. Like, I mean, even, I don't know if they were tour costumes, like up on mannequins and all, but I mean, it was loud and proud, come in here and buy this crazy shit.
Sure.
It was odd to me. It was very odd to me.
We should go see Kevin Hart at Resorts World and then see if they've got any of his stuff in their store at that time. Maybe it's only when the people come in do they stock it with the...
I don't know that you can have that much Kevin Hart merchandise, though, but... And I wouldn't mind seeing him.
Take up a lot of space.
He's
a very small guy.
I would see him. I've liked some of his stand-ups that I've watched. I think are pretty good. So I wouldn't be opposed to that.
B-52s are performing at the Venetian Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, November 13th, 15th, and 16th. Show starts at 8:30 p.m. Tickets start at $46.
Architects and We Came as Romans are performing at the theater at Virgin Wednesday, October 9th. Show starts at 7 p.m. Tickets start at $40.
And that's in here because Mark really likes one of those bands.
Listen, I'm the one that writes the show notes, so I have to be the one that knows who's performing.
But nobody else knows who they are. It's We Came as Romans. Mark really likes that band.
That's what he said.
Gotcha.
I know.
She was saying that that's why you...
Oh, gotcha.
Got the
my God, you're jumping all over me today. And this... shocks the hell out of me, but Chris Brown is performing at T-Mobile Saturday, August 3rd. Shows start at 7:30 and tickets start at $80, which is $80 too much to give to that moron.
I was going to say, maybe people just still want to get the shit beat out of them by Chris Brown. It's
right. Like,
$80 is a small price to pay.
You know, it's funny. It's not even just beating the shit out of your girlfriend. He did a song with Jordan Sparks back in the day called No Air. Right. And so I think she came from American Idol or something. And she was a thicker girl, right? So beautiful voice, fantastic singer. And they did a duet. And I love the duet. It's fantastic. But apparently she kind of, in one interview she let on that, you know, she kind of had a crush on him. She thought he was really cute. And his response in another interview was like, yeah, there's no way that's going to happen. I'm like, you're doing this in public? You couldn't have said, you know,
is
it's
this
so
TMZ?
Sweet.
Is this what we're doing with Chris Brown?
I think Karen's point is to say that it should not shock you that the guy who's willing to beat the shit out of, who was it, Rihanna?
Yeah.
In an
yeah.
elevator?
Was it in an elevator?
That wasn't. The elevator had something to do with Beyonce and...
Oh.
I think it was Beyonce, wasn't it? Because her sister, her sister went after Jay-Z.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, we're really getting in a rabbit hole.
Yeah, we are. Okay. I apologize. That was my fault.
I would say the thing with Rihanna was in a car. It was a moving vehicle. Yes.
Yeah. Don't forget that you can find links to purchase tickets to these and all the artists that we report on our coming attractions calendar on the blog. Let's check the river. Like the five communal cards you get in a game of Texas Hold'em, the river can have anything turn up. So is our river segment, and this week, we've got a 360 FHE. Now, this is our opportunity to go out and explore the ever-changing landscape of Las Vegas and share the experience with you. This week, you went out and explored Dita Von Teese at the Horseshoe. Tell us about your firsthand experience.
Tony, this show was awesome. This was.
Tell me more. Why? What's going on?
It was sexy. It was classy. It was funny. It had memorable portions to it that I could specifically point to as like the mechanical bull, the shower
that was
scene,
amazing. the mechanical bull,
the projection on there. It's awesome. It reminds me. I've never been interested in the feather shows. And I never understood or got it.
The showgirls and the big headdresses.
And this seems like an homage to it.
It is.
But not like, it's not thrust in your face. It's not like the whole show is nothing but all these big headdresses and shit like that. So it's almost like Dita looked at this and said, okay, I'm going to give you the best version of all these other shows.
So, and I should say, because I believe in last week's show, we read some input from, again, our friend Shane, that they saw
that
the
show.
That
was on our listener feedback show.
No.
Yes.
Oh, it was on the show last
week.
Yeah,
that makes sense because I didn't, I wasn't a part of that. So I'm like, I don't remember talking about.
Oh, okay. Then I was wrong. But anyway, he and his wife went and said they were kind of disappointed. It wasn't quite what they thought it was going to be. So going into it, I was like, but you know, we already had the ticket. So what is this going to be like? It is definitely burlesque. This is not a topless review.
Okay.
Which is what most of them are. This is strip teases, you know, things that are designed to be very sensual, but not slutty, for lack of a better word.
And it sounds like there's no nudity.
No, there is.
Oh, no, there's
Well, they're all pasties, but.
I will say this, yes, every woman, well, actually, every woman and every, well, not every man, a couple of the men had pasties on.
Okay.
But pretty much, you know, full nude. They had one that was a light projection on Dita herself that it's hard to explain, but it made it look
very
like
James Bond-esque.
Yes, very James Bond.
She'll be standing nude, and then all of a sudden a projection will put an outfit on her.
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sometimes she'd be like her entire body was like a leopard print, except her head. So her head was usually always spotlight on there, but that one was really cool. Mark mentioned the mechanical bull. It was her, and that was Dita that was on the mechanical bull. She did what every drunk girl that gets on a mechanical bull in a bar thinks they look like.
Okay. Okay.
It was,
she actually looked like.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was so.
Yeah, she was
again,
awesome.
That bull's not trying to throw her off, right? It's coordinated and she knows the movements.
Right.
But it was absolutely fantastic. They had one of the numbers. They were doing a cover of Darling Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
And another one. Oh, shit. What was the other song?
Father Figure.
Father Figure by George Michael. Mm-hmm. The one weird thing was, so the dancers are half male, half female, right? And anytime the females were wearing the feathers and the headdresses, so were the guys.
Yeah, so that was weird.
And that was a little odd. But they kind of flipped the role, and they had a number where everybody was dressed as men in tuxedos. So even the women had the tuxedos on and everything else. So they were very... It was just... And the range of dancers.
Mm-hmm.
They had a male dancer with a hairy chest, which I've never seen anywhere. They always are forced to wax or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They had one of the women was a thicker girl, but she had a solo that she did that was fantastic. Who was the one that came out at the end? The really bigger girl.
Dirty Martini.
Dirty Martini, that was her name. She was big, but she knew how to, again, do the burlesque and do the striptease. And at the end of it, she has a special skill where she's got the tassels on, right? And she can make them spin in different directions and all of that. And she can actually make them spin one at a time, not holding the other one down. So at one point they're like, hey, do the right one. And the right one started spinning and the left one was just sitting there. And you're like, how do you do that? Without, like, she didn't pick her hands up and get them started or anything.
Right,
she just,
right, sure.
It was, but the show was a lot of fun. It was
cool.
Really well done. I would go see it again in a heartbeat. But again, it's a burlesque show. It is not a topless review. So don't go there expecting that. A lot of nudity. You'll see plenty of that, but not a topless review.
Yeah.
All right. Then we've got Rebuild the Strip. What's going on here?
All right, so this is a game that we're going to play. So a listener suggested it, and it's pretty simple. In Vegas, some parcels of land on the Strip have had more than one property reside on them. For example, Mandalay Bay and Hacienda both existed on the same land. So, which do you prefer to have on this made-up version of the Strip that we're creating? This isn't a game to build the most valuable strip or to criticize any property. It's a chance for us to discuss Vegas history and her evolution. So starting off with that one, we'll start from the south part of the strip. We'll go with Mandalay Bay and Hacienda. What do you guys think we should pick?
I would pick Mandalay Bay.
Yeah.
I think I have to say the same thing, Karen, because I don't have enough information on Hacienda to know if I would want that to be there.
Again, Hacienda was a motel.
It wasn't a motel.
No?
No.
Well,
okay, well then I'm just wrong. I thought you were going to have pictures up here so we could see.
No.
Right, I'm looking at the evolution of this strip scripts. And let's see how you explain
it. I have a feeling I'm
going to
need to go get a refill on my cocktail.
Yeah, no.
That's okay.
We're not doing it.
You don't have to wait. You can just talk to Tony and I'll jump in when we get back on our property.
Yeah, I hear. All right, so we're going to go with Mandalay Bay. I would have broke a tiebreaker if we needed one.
Oh, yes, that's the thing, Tony. If you and I disagree, Mark is the tiebreaker, and if there's like three properties and you pick one, I pick one,
then
whatever Mark picks wins.
Yeah.
That's the rules.
Yeah.
This game's fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
Continue.
It is fun. Shut up. All right, so next up, Luxor's always been Luxor. Excalibur's always been Excalibur. Tropicana's always been Tropicana. New York's always been New York. So next up, we have either the Marina or the MGM Grand.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, that's easy. After the picture he showed us that looked like a regular run of the mill
Holiday Inn. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We want MGM.
No, Grand, sure. No, no. I would take Marina.
I have to agree with him. The MGM Grand deserves to be there.
That's just me putting my hatred of the property out
MGM
there.
MGM Grand.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So next up is Monte Carlo or Park MGM?
Monte Carlo.
Yeah, I would agree with you guys on that one. What about Boardwalk or Aria?
Boardwalk.
Really?
Yeah, I'm gonna go. I'll vote Boardwalk.
I would have voted for Aria for the record, but you guys outvoted me on that one.
I don't get the affinity.
Defend your vote, Mark.
I love the casino as it is. I hate how far back it is, but I really enjoy that casino. I think it's a beautiful property.
Yeah, but we never win there, and the food has been meh. And
I didn't say there weren't disappointing aspects to it.
That's what I mean. The Boardwalk was fun.
Yeah.
Well, and just from the image that you had put up last week when we were going through it, that it looked fun. That place looks so, like, I would see that and I'd be like, I want to be in there. I want to experience that. I want to see what that place is about.
Right.
Versus art.
And not have to walk a gazillion miles back to get to it.
That too.
Yeah.
That too.
Okay, Cosmopolitan's always been Cosmopolitan. Next up, we have Aladdin or Planet Hollywood.
Can I ask a clarifying question? Can it be Aladdin circa the 19...
Yes, when she first opened, yes. It can totally be that.
So it could either be the original Aladdin, it could be the
2000
redone
renovation.
Aladdin, or it could be Planet Hollywood.
Sure.
Tony?
I want the original Aladdin, please.
Okay.
See, I for some reason like Planet Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
So I think I would pick that one.
I'm going to have to go with the original Aladdin on this one, just because I love Planet Hollywood as well, but I want that old marquee out there. Okay, so Paris has always been Paris. Next is the first that has had three incarnations. That is MGM, Bally's, and Horseshoe.
Honestly, I like what they're doing with it with Horseshoe. So I would take that one.
Okay.
I am Team Bally's.
Oh, wow, this is a tough one. I'm going to have to go with Horseshoe on this one because I agree with Karen. Just because I want the future to progress forward. And unfortunately, Bally's is no longer part of our future.
It's too bad this isn't being live streamed because Tony and I are having fun when you agree with either one of our votes.
Okay, this next one's going to be a difficult one, I think. It's the Dunes or Bellagio?
I would say the Dunes.
Okay.
And the reason I'd say the Dunes is I've never felt welcome.
Oh, wow. What a great angle.
Bellagio Casino.
Okay.
I know the fountains are iconic, okay, and I hate to lose those, but I have a feeling I would have been much more comfortable in the Dunes.
Okay.
Here's an instance where I'm going with the devil I don't know versus the devil I do know.
Okay.
I am also Team Dunes.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay.
Which means we win, Mark, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I would have gone with as much as I love the Dunes, I would have gone with Bellagio. But to be honest with you, your argument makes me even question my own decision on there because you're right. Like, I've never felt welcome in Bellagio. As much as I love the fountains, like, it'd be nice to go to a property that actually, you know, values me.
And it could just be that the Bellagio is what we know. Right?
Right,
we never got to see the Dunes,
right.
And so to Tony's point, you know, the devil you don't know versus the one that you do.
Okay. So next up, we've got another one that's got three options here. We've got Barbary Coast, Bill's Gambling Hall, or Cromwell.
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 Yeah, I would have to agree. Cromwell.
That's a no-brainer.
Right. Okay, Caesars has always been Caesars. Flamingo has always been Flamingo. Next up, we have Imperial Palace, the Quad, or Link?
Link. Because, you know, I'm not picking Imperial Palace.
I know.
Like, that ain't going to happen.
I know. I'm so heartbroken over that, too. But
and I know Tony would probably pick Imperial Palace.
I respect your opinion. I really do. I really do. But yes, I'm Team IP.
I've got to go with Team Link. I couldn't even get this woman into that place when it was Imperial Palace. Although, like, we talked...
I went in once.
That's right. You did go in once. You were a trooper.
I didn't want to touch anything.
Right.
And I came out smelling like an ashtray. But, yeah.
All right. Next one up is either Holiday Casino or Harrah's. Holiday Casino had the riverboat.
Yes. Oh, the riverboat. I'll take that one. I mean, Harrah's to me is just such a bland...
Okay, see, I'm so glad you said that, Karen. Go ahead and finish your thought, but I've got a fun little retort for you, though.
There's nothing fun about Harrah's. There used to be with some of the signage, because they had the jesters and they had all of that, but once they took that down, you're just like, it's... I don't know, there's nothing special about that place.
Yeah. I liked it when it had a Mardi Gras feel
to
it.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
My vote was for the non-de-themed Harrah's.
Gotcha.
I liked it when it was still where they really embraced their the Mardi Gras. So I'll tell you what, if I can't have the re-themed Mardi Gras Harrah's,
unthemed.
If I have to take what I've got right now,
right,
then yes, I would definitely go with the Holiday Casino. But if I could get back that really fun, cool Mardi Gras theme that they'd had, I thought Harrah's was super, super cool and fun when they really embraced that.
I agree.
I agree with that.
Yep. All right, so Holiday Casino it is. All right, next up. This is another one. This is a unique one because we have to go with how two properties replaced it. This is the first one that we're experiencing that. So this is either the Castaways or the Mirage and Treasure Island.
I would say Mirage and Treasure Island.
Yeah, Mirage and Treasure Island.
Yeah, I would agree with you guys. Definitely better than what
it's
Castaways
just,
was.
I mean, Castaways would just be for the nostalgia, and I don't think Castaways has the aura about it that, like, the Dunes had.
Right.
So, yes, it was old school, but let's face it, the Mirage in and of itself would have been worth that. T.I., okay, you know, you toss that one in just because you can't.
Poor T.I. Right.
Well,
if I could have Mirage and Castaways and get rid of T.I.,
right,
is that enough? Can I vote for that?
In all fairness, the original T.I., this is where you're going with the change in the theming again, right?
That's true.
You're right.
Once they de-themed Treasure Island is when it became a shithole. You're right.
Well, no, once they sold it to Ruffin and he put that giant frog on the front of it and...
Yes.
It just turned the outside into a shit show.
Right.
Yes.
And the inside into a shit show. But, you know, that's when it lost it. That's when T.I. right now, I'm like, oh, good Lord.
Yep.
Right.
But when it was Treasure Island, it was, again, had a theme that they embraced. And Ruffin has distracted from that theme.
Yeah.
He should just rename it something else.
I keep saying if he... Yeah, I'm with you. Same thing. Sorry, I got distracted. All right, Casino Royale has been Casino Royale. Next up, I know where this one's going. You got the Sands or the Venetian Palazzo?
Tony, you go first.
Well, this one's hard. This one's hard, and I'll tell you why. The Rat Pack lover in me obviously wants it to be the Sands. However, I can't take away from how gorgeous Venetian Palazzo is. I love the frescoes on the ceiling. I love being in the Venetian. I feel classy. I feel swanky. Like, I feel like I'm not, you know, some two-bit hick from Southwest Michigan, which is for folks that don't know where I'm really from originally. You know, like, I feel classy. I want to dress classy when I'm at the Venetian. But God damn, would I love to be able to walk the halls
into the sand, yeah.
That Sinatra and Dino would. So I guess it's a tough one, but I'm going to go Sands. But I would not be sad. I would not be sad if I got overruled on this vote.
Right.
So I agree with you, Tony, but I think I like the Venetian Palazzo for slightly different reasons.
Okay.
I love their hotel rooms. They're big, they're spacious, they're comfortable. They have so many good restaurants inside the Venetian Palazzo, but I've never really gambled there because, again, it's just with them. I would have to say this is one of those where I would go with the nostalgia, and I would also do the Sands. Although, to your point, it's a tough one. I don't know that I would be upset either way, but I think with all the others that we've picked that are newer and everything else, I would want the Sands to be there.
See, I was going to go with the Sands for the primary reason that we have enough mega resorts. It'd be nice to have one of the old school, more intimate resorts. Like, there's lots of options available on the Strip. It'd be nice to have, like, I would like to believe that there's a place for the Sands in our made-up Strip where, you know, you've got your mega resorts and you've got, you know, your more classic resorts like the Sands, and then you've got, you know, even smaller in Cosmopolitan and Cromwell.
Sure. Yeah, sure. I gotta say, that one was way, way harder to debate than the Bellagio versus Dunes.
Right.
I actually feel like I could go. I would almost would rather amend my answer and say, you know, I'll take a Bellagio if I could have the Sands.
Ooh, that's good. I like that. I like that a lot.
That would be a fair trade. I could see that.
Yeah. Okay, next up. This one's kind of cheating because I feel like it's the same property the whole time. You've got the Last Frontier, the New Frontier, or just the Frontier?
I don't know enough about any of them to have a real honest opinion. I can say the whatever was the last thing that was there before it closed down was definitely tired. And
right.
Right.
Tony, my
I probably don't vote for that one.
Our brains were the same way. I'm like, the last version is not the one that I want.
Right. Then you're probably thinking the New Frontier, which is the... when they tried to modernize the place, they went from being a Western place to something that was a little more modern.
But yeah, I don't want the Western place either. Okay. So I will take the one that was a little more modern.
Fair enough.
Can I just take what there's right now?
The empty lot.
Just the lot.
That's good. We'll take that one.
All right. The next one, we've got Desert Inn or Wynn Encore.
This one is actually kind of easier for me.
Okay.
I would take Wynn Encore.
Okay.
I'd take Wynn Encore. And let me say, partially because of this, on the one hand, who doesn't want, because I do believe it was the, oh, I'm full of shit. I thought it was the first or second, but it's not even the third or fourth, is it? Desert Inn was the fifth resort to open. I mean, there's some cool things about it, right? It was the property that Howard Hughes took over, so that's kind of attractive to me.
Right.
But
right.
I dig what Wynn Encore offers. So
I agree.
That's my vote.
What do you think, Karen?
I'll be honest, I don't really have an opinion on.
Right.
I could argue the nostalgia aspect of it would be awesome. There are some good restaurants in Wynn Encore. I don't usually feel comfortable gambling there.
Mm.
I've never stayed there, but I know that the properties are well thought of by a lot of people that I know.
Right.
So it makes this one has no impact on me whatsoever. So I don't.
Whichever wins, you'll be okay.
Right. I'm fine with.
Right. I was going to go with Wynn Encore as well. Desert Inn, for some reason, it's never had much appeal to me for some reason. I mean, I love it for the history aspect. I love, what's his name? Now I'm blanking. Wilbur Clark, you know, I love what he did for the city, but I don't know, the Desert Inn never did it for me. And Wynn Encore, while I don't necessarily feel, welcome there, like, it isn't anything that they're doing. You know, I think what they have is a very quality property there. So, yeah, going with an Encore. Okay, Riviera's Riviera. Next we got what I think is an easy one here is the Stardust or Resorts World.
That's awesome. This one might be 3-0, but Karen, I'm going to let you go ahead and jump
Stardust.
In.
And I didn't even spend a ton of time in there.
Yeah.
But just the history and the facade, and there's so much about that that I wish... I know I've been in it,
mm-hmm.
but I wish I would have spent more time there.
Agreed.
And
agreed.
Resorts World,
she was a grind joint. She was just not... I mean, imagine Circus Circus, but not Circus Circus.
That's an interesting way of putting it. Yeah, I think at the end, she was in that same tier.
Yes.
But at the end.
But she was taking care of herself still.
She was.
Yeah.
She was, and she had so much history that... Yeah, that's a hands down one.
Yep. All right, Westward Ho's Westward Ho. You got Circus Circus, Circus Circus. Ooh, here's a four tier. You got Thunderbird, Silverbird, El Rancho, or Fountain Blue.
Thunderbird. I remember from the picture that we were talking about when we did the evolution of the Strip, and the Thunderbird to me just looked fascinating and intriguing.
Yeah.
And Fountain Blue, I'm glad it's done. I'm glad it's open. But I don't really have an interest in it.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I'll second exactly Karen's rationale for my vote of Thunderbird.
I love it when you agree with me. It just makes life so much easier.
It does, right? Much like my wife, you're right. Just sometimes I think something and I know, and it's wrong because it's not what my wife thinks.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so Thunderbird, I would also go with the Thunderbird. Silverbird, I have a special place in my heart for her her super pylon, but Thunderbird is the clear choice for me on this one. Okay, Sahara or SLS?
The original Sahara.
The original Sahara, yeah. I didn't even give you the option for the secondary Sahara.
Well, see, here's the thing. I'm going to take a slightly different approach, and I'm going to say the current iteration of Sahara, if you wiped out all of the executive office.
Then yes. Yes. If that's a qualifier,
wipe out their legal team.
Yes. Because right. I agree. Yep. I like, again, in the original Sahara, what I knew of her was old and tired and smoke filled. But I didn't like SLS, and for the reason that you mentioned, can't vote for the current version of it. But if you take out the management team, I do like what they've done with the place.
Right.
So, yeah, I like Tony's qualifier. I'll go with that one.
I'm trying to get over what they did, but I can't, and that's the problem, because I'm trying to enjoy more of the classic properties, and I'm like, I feel like I have an opportunity here, but you fucking pricks are ruining it.
Yeah. You just can't support those kind of business practices.
Yeah. Okay, the El Rancho is the El Rancho, unless we want to go with the Las Vegas Festival grounds. And the last one is Las Vegas World or Stratosphere.
Huh, this is another one. You know what? I would say Stratosphere.
Right.
Because I think the tower is a very unique feature.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, Bob Stupak was a bait and switch kind of guy, which isn't very nice. That was Bob Stupak, right?
Right, but he had to lose his stake in the company to get Stratosphere built.
Right. But and I loved when we did the sky jump. The views from the tower are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go with the Stratosphere.
Okay.
I think I am also Team Stratosphere. However, if I were to vote for Stupak's, what is it, World?
Vegas World.
Vegas World, thank you. If I voted for, I know, what's that? What's that resort in Vegas called?
I know, I was like, wait, it's Vegas is in the name, Tony. You remember the World part, but not the Vegas part?
That's right. If I voted for Vegas World, it would only be because I thought it was ingenious that he really mastered the whole junket concept of bringing people into Las Vegas to come stay at his joint for you know, a couple of bucks, and you would get a free flight, quote unquote free flight, free room, you know, maybe some free play and or food. I don't know, but that was so ingenious to get people to come out of the suburbs, you know, come on in from, and I'm making these cities up, but Duluth or Roanoke or, you know, fill in the blank sort of city, Lansing. To come experience Vegas. That is ingenious, and I think it opened up Vegas to so many other people that, listen, I assume people of New York, Dallas, Chicago, LA know about Vegas, but I don't know that back in the 70s you were pulling in, again, these other smaller markets. So that would be the reason I would vote for that, because I love that. I wish that was still a thing.
Mm.
But as you, for all of the reasons that you pointed out, Karen, Stratosphere is just so fun and it is so cool. And if folks haven't taken the time to go up to the top of the Stratosphere and enjoy a drink at the revolving bar like we did as part of one of our Vegas vacations, I mean, that is one of the best memories, and I have so many phenomenal memories, but one of the things that immediately jumps out in my head, I mean, immediately when somebody says the term Vegas vacation to me, getting drinks at that revolving restaurant bar was one of
was
the
a great
coolest,
time.
Most fun experiences.
Well, there were several people that we met for the first time there at that particular one who are now amazingly good friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
so for that reason, I'm Team Strat.
All right. I would also go with Stratosphere. She's far too much of an icon to not have her as a part of the skyline. All right. So
and
we have we have rebuilt the strip. We've got let's start with the south. We'll recap for you from the south side or starting South Strip. On the west side, we have Mandalay Bay, Luxor, Excalibur, New York, New York, Monte Carlo, Boardwalk, Cosmopolitan, Dunes, Caesar's Palace, Mirage TI, The New Frontier, Stardust, Westward Ho, Circus Circus, El Rancho, and Stratosphere. And then on the east side of the strip, starting from the south, we have the Tropicana, the MGM Grand, the Aladdin, Paris, Horseshoe, Cromwell, Flamingo, Link, Holiday Casino, Casino Royale, The Sands, Wynn Encore, Riviera, Thunderbird, and Sahara.
That's a shitload of properties.
That is cool. That is cool. Something for everybody. You could pull the Rat Pack into present day and walk them up and down the strip, and some of it would be brand new to them. Like, could you imagine how them seeing places like the Dunes and the Sands that they knew, and then seeing it sitting next to Wynn Encore,
right? Yeah,
and Mirage TI. That's a cool fucking strip right there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Good job, team.
Right.
That was neat. That was fun. Thank you to the listener that proposed that idea. That was super fun.
Yeah. Why don't we go ahead and wrap it up? I think we're at an hour already and change.
Yeah.
Dynamite.
And I'm out of my drink.
We'll save trivia.
You're out of a drink. I know. There's nothing worse than when I'm like, all right, my drink's kind of done.
Oh, please. You can text your wife and have her bring you another one.
That's true. I do that.
Yeah,
sorry.
You do. I've seen it.
I do. All right, that's going to do it for episode number 484. Thank you all for listening and downloading. We really do appreciate it. If you'd like to check out any of the stories on today's show, you can do so on the blog, which is 360vegaspodcast.com. You can get premium and exclusive content when you subscribe to our show at patreon.com/360vegas, and get 360 Vegas shirts, mugs, and anything else that we can slap a logo on at zazzle.com/360vegas. If you'd like to send some feedback, you can do so. Email Mark. His email address is 360vegaspodcast@gmail.com.
Tony, where can folks find you?
I'm at 360 Vegas Tony.
Karen.
I'm at 360 Vegas Karen.
He just told you where you can find me, so until next time.